Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Dawn Drummond. She has been sharing about her brother, Jim Howard, who we lost back on January 23rd of this year. And just sharing about when she got the news that Jim had ended his life by suicide. But we've been remembering how wonderful Jim was, all the great attributes he had. And we had just yesterday we completed our program, just shared about when she got the phone call and her mom. And if you missed that program, you want to go to our website, hopeishere.today. You can listen to that 14-minute program and just hear how we honor Jim's life. And Don, as we concluded yesterday, you shared that, you know, you were able to get to your mom's house, and she was on the phone with Rusty, the lead pastor. Your sister was there, plus two of Jimmy's good friends. So church, Chris Hahn, people, they were coming to support you all. You felt loved, supported.
Absolutely. So just that night, as soon as we heard, we started seeing God's love manifest itself with people coming and crying with us and sharing stories. You know, that night, of course, you're in the why in the world did this happen, trying to figure out why. And talking to his friends about that, and talking to about, oh, well, he said something to you jokingly, he said something to me jokingly, and just kind of trying to put pieces together. The very next day, there were some people that were friends of ours at church out at Southland who started to get a list together to deliver meals to my mom's house for us, so we wouldn't have to worry about that, as a way to love on us and be with us. We had a ton of people just reach out and, you know, tell us they were praying for us, and that they were, you know, couldn't imagine what we were going through, but that they were there for us if we needed them. And a lot of people, my mom has lived in the same house since she got married, so a lot of our friends and a lot of her friends stopped by the house to comfort her and be with her and share stories of Jimmy.
Well, and I'm so glad to hear that. And I heard Wayne Smith say one time many years ago, the founding pastor of Southland, that, you know, a lot of times you wonder, what is it that I say and when somebody loses a loved one, especially when it's unexpected? And he said, you know, people won't remember what you said necessarily, but they'll just know you were there.
Exactly.
And is that fair to say, as you walk through that challenging situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't tell you. I can tell you a few things that stood out, but for the most part, I can just say, wow, that, you know, this person was nice enough to send a card or stop by or reach out. And there is someone who I haven't heard from since I was a senior in high school. And, you know, of course, everybody that I was friends with knew Jimmy since we were in the same class, and got a text from him just saying, you know, we're walking through this with you. And just so nice of people to just let us know that they're praying and caring about us.
Absolutely. You guys go to Lafayette, is that right?
Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I went to Tate's Creek. I won't hold that against you. Or vice versa. Well, and I tell you, it is amazing. And, you know, like anything in life, there's good and bad, but social media, good things, but obviously detrimental things. But one of the things I think is beautiful, Facebook, Messenger. I remember my dad passed away a few years ago, and kind of was untimely. And but there were some people, once again, like you talked about, that high school I had talked to in 20-something years, people that worked with my dad that I hadn't seen in 20-plus years coming out and just saying, hey, you know, your dad meant this to me. And you guys are hearing a lot about that with Jimmy. And, man, it just does your heart good, doesn't it?
It does. It does your heart good. Then at the same time, it's like, man, you had so many people that loved you, Jimmy. Why couldn't you see that? You know, and I think he was big on letting people know about God's grace. But he dealt with insecurities just like anyone else and didn't always extend that love and grace to himself.
Mm.
And that's been, I think, one of the hard things to see is how loved he was.
Yeah.
But still with the choice that he made.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a huge point you just said. And it's interesting. I've shared this several times. I just started going into ministry, got ordained 16 years ago, August 3rd. And the number one thing, Don, that I've learned during this time and seeing is that people are harder on themselves than God is. And you said it much better. You said that Jimmy talked to people about extending grace, but, you know, couldn't extend to himself. And man, I've struggled with that, so many people. But I think somebody that's listening today, man, God is a God of grace, and he wants to help you through your hurts, your disappointments, your wounds. And there's nothing that with God's help and some friends that you can't get through, is there, Don?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't pretend to have all the answers on that, but I can just tell you in my life, whenever there's been a trauma or drama that God has made himself very aware.
Amen.
To me. And, you know, it's, and at some point you also have to say, I don't know why. And that's okay. I'm never going to know why about some things on this side of heaven. Mm. And you have to be okay with that. Yeah. And know that it doesn't matter. I'm still making a difference. My story can still make a difference no matter what it is. And move on.
That's huge. I think that is so huge, because I know a lot of people listening. I know in my own life that trying to forgive ourselves, but to move on. And I'm a little older, but we're similar in age. But, you know, we used to have VCRs and cassettes, and you kept hitting the rewind button, remember?
Right.
And I've been really guilty of that. And I love what you just said, you know, to accept God's grace. But then you hit on two words, two simple words, a powerful statement. But then you have to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's a choice, because that's not easy sometimes.
It is not easy sometimes, no. You can, when you find yourself, I think, I've dealt with depression and anxiety, it runs in my family. And I think when you find yourself in that depressed state, it's easy to stay in that depressed state. And you have to, you just have to keep going. That's the thing, is just don't make that your story, that area that you're in right now, that darkness. Don't make that your story. Just keep moving on. Make something out of it. Make that your story.
Yeah, I heard somebody say, I'm not sure if it was Kay Warren or who it was, I don't even quote her, but, you know, when someone takes their life, it's a permanent decision to maybe a temporary problem. Mm-hmm. But at the time, that temporary problem can seem overwhelming.
Exactly. Exactly.
But when you open up just to one person, mm-hmm. and say, man, I'm hurting, mm-hmm. and this is why. I know in my life when I've done that, because I've been where Jim was when I lost my store and marriage and my house, a flood, bankruptcy back in 2001. So I know I felt overwhelmed, but just by telling one person where I felt like I was drowning and couldn't survive and didn't want to survive, just one person, you know, throwing me a lifeline, listening and just saying, hey, it's going to be okay, or I've got you. I mean, just telling one person can make a huge difference, won't it?
Absolutely. And that's what I would tell anybody after going through this. Just if anything is going through your mind, to talk to someone, talk to a good friend. Maybe you don't feel like you can be vulnerable with your friend. Call the Suicide National Hotline. That's where you can be vulnerable. Those people don't know you, but you can talk to them, and they can guide you. Talk to your doctor. You know, sometimes when we go through those things, it's because serotonin in our brain is not working properly. Talk to a counselor who can walk you through that. So I think just find someone to talk to. And nowadays, counselors, you can just go online sometimes and do it right over your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's number one, is talking to somebody so you can get through it.
Absolutely. And that suicide hotline, it's 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-TALK. Or if you're like me, you're like, okay, what does that mean? TALK. It's 273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Somebody there 24 hours a day. It's, like you said, a safe, anonymous place if you don't feel comfortable sharing with somebody in your, quote, inner circle. But I think you bring up such a great point about seeing a doctor. I had a friend recently that contacted me and said they were struggling with depression and couldn't get out of bed for, like, the past 2 weeks. They did and got to work, but it took everything they had. And they said, I've just been struggling with depression. And like you said, you know, have a good job and do well on the outside. You know, they look, well, they should be okay. And the first thing I said to them, just because I've struggled with that too, was, please go see your doctor. And, you know, let's see if there's something, blood work, you know, chemistry wise. And they got on an antidepressant, and I took one. I've shared this on air before for about 3 years to help me get over a hump. And I have found, Don, at least through struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts myself, that sometimes it's not just one thing. It's kind of a combination of things. Would you say that's what helpful to you and others that are listening?
Absolutely. There was the show, actually, that I was watching on TV this year called A Million Little Things. And in the opening, this is before anything with Jimmy, one of the main characters commits suicide. And the rest of the show is his friends trying to figure out why. And one of the best things that I read on the Alliance of Hope website was, if you feel like you need to know why, just investigate as much as you can if you think you need to. That's okay. But to know that when you find out why, is it going to make you feel better? Will it make you feel better if it was this one thing and knowing it was that one thing? Mm. Or will it feel, you know, make you feel better that this person had all these things going on? And usually it is. It's, as the show says, it's a million little things that leads up to that. Mm. It's not just one event. And so I found that to be, especially the statement, once you know why, will that really make you feel better?
Yeah.
It's not going to bring that person back.
Right.
If you know that a certain event caused it, is that going to bring you peace? No. Mm-hmm. So, there's usually more than one thing. And as someone who lost someone to suicide, it's hard to under, you know, I don't know why Jimmy decided to take his life. I have no idea why. Some people might think it was because he was hopeless. I've heard that kind of thrown around. Really, I think Jimmy was just hurting. I think that was just what it comes down to. He was hurting. He wanted to talk to my dad, who's in heaven. He had read Imagine Heaven, so he knew how great heaven could be. And I think he had a lot of hope for heaven. And in his warped mind right then, thought, well, that's where I want to be, and I can be there right now.
Yeah.
And made that unfortunate choice. But I don't know that it was because he totally lost hope in everything.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted the hurt to stop.
That's a great statement. I mean, it really, really is. And obviously, I'm a big hope guy with Hope's Here. But I think that's the thing that we don't realize sometimes how much somebody is hurting. And the exterior can be so deceiving. You know, things look good on the outside. Maybe materially, somebody's been blessed. Physically, they've been gifted. And yet, I think there's a God-sized shaped hole in all of us only that he can feel. And yet, sometimes the hurt and wounds get so overwhelming that the hurt is so bad. But I have found, at least, that when you do what you shared with earlier, when you share with somebody else and kind of get that out, it's therapeutic and it helps and helps. And we've got about a minute left. What would you say to somebody that, you know, is kind of hurting so bad that they don't think that, you know, man, this can get any better? What would you say to them, Don?
Well, I can tell them that it has been devastating to my family and his friends to have to go through this. We miss him every day. And just knowing that we will never see him again, there is nothing he could have done that would warrant us never being able to see him again, if that makes sense. I don't know what he was feeling or what he was struggling with, but there's nothing he could have come to us and said, I've been struggling with this, and we would have been like, oh, Jimmy, you know, then you're no longer part of this family. Absolutely not. And I just wish he had known how much people really did care about him and love him and would support him and embrace him, and just how much we wish he were here and hadn't made that decision. And that decision just causes a lot of heartbreak for others. And it's not how your story needs to end. If you're thinking of this is not how your story should end. There's a project called the Semicolon Project. You can get on there. There are stories of people who have tried to commit suicide and weren't successful, and how they talk about how glad they are that they didn't succeed and how they're changing their story. And I would say that just hang on.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Don Drummond and how she is walked through this healing process as a survivor losing her brother Jimmy to suicide back in January. So I hope you'll tell a friend if you know somebody could be blessed by this program. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.